We are keeping an eye on the Middle East today. An airstrike in Syria on a hospital in Aleppo left dozens dead. And in Iraq, a surprise visit today by Vice President Joe Biden, the highest-ranking American official to visit there in the past 5 years. And his visit comes not long after an announcement that the U.S. is going to send an additional 200 troops to Iraq to assist in the fight against ISIS.
So a lot's going on there, but also here. So let's start by turning to politics. And Jeremy, I can't believe I'm saying this, but some of the language I'm about to use may be offensive. At an event at Stanford yesterday, former Speaker of the House John Boehner called Ted Cruz Lucifer in the flesh. That's not the offensive part. Here it comes. According to the Stanford Daily, he went on to say, "I have Democratic friends and Republican friends. I get along with almost everyone, but I have never worked with a more miserable son of a bitch in my life," meaning Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz responded just a while ago.
"I've met John Boehner two or three times in my life. If I have said 50 words in my life to John Boehner, I'd be surprised, and every one of them has consisted of pleasantries. Good to see you, Mr. Speaker. I've never had any substantive conversation with John Boehner in any respect."
Joining us now, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, some people are tweeting out that it's the word miserable in front of the phrase son of a that actually makes that a pejorative. Give us some context here. You know, what might be behind the Boehner-Cruz obvious impasse?
Travel with me back, if you would, Robin, to the fall of 2013. This was the first full year that Ted Cruz was in the United States Senate, and he was largely the driving force behind the resistance in the House of Representatives, which supposedly is run by John Boehner, to going ahead and financing the federal government and reopening the government, which had shut down that fall because of the impasse in Congress and the impasse between Congress and President Obama. So John Boehner was very upset at the fact that Ted Cruz was, in some people's view, acting as a shadow speaker and organizing members of the House to vote against the way John Boehner was either asking or pleading or instructing them to vote.
Yeah. Well, so this came, the comments came last night after Ted Cruz yesterday afternoon did manage to move the news cycle away from his big losses in the primary on Tuesday by announcing his running mate, Carly Fiorina. And now John Boehner seems to have changed the conversation yet again with his comments. Do you think he timed this ahead of the Indiana primaries? He was asked, and he did respond to questions, but is the timing important?
The timing is important, certainly, to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. And let's be clear, John Boehner's remarks at Stanford last night were not at all kind to Ted Cruz. He was a little bit on the neutral side about John Kasich, said they were friends, but that Kasich was, quote, high maintenance. And then he moved on a little bit to talking about Donald Trump and said that he expected Trump to be the nominee and that he expected to vote for Trump in November and that the two of them were texting buddies, as he described them. So there's not much question where John Boehner's sympathies lie here. And as you say, the Indiana primary is coming up next Tuesday. And to almost no one's expectation, Indiana is turning out to be a terribly important state in the Trump versus Cruz battle.
Right. And how exciting for us all to have an unleashed John Boehner, who's been replaced by Paul Ryan. Well, to the announcement of Fiorina, it's the longest I've seen Ted Cruz on CNN. He was brilliant in that way. He captured the news cycle. But it was also odd. She took the stage and literally sang the praises of his wife and two little girls. Let's listen.
"We've been traveling around the country, and I've come to know Ted and Heidi and Caroline and Catherine. I know two girls that I just adore. I'm so happy I can see them more. 'Cause we travel on the bus all day. We get to play. We get to play." I won't bore you with any more of the song.
Okay, too late, some people might say. But, you know, his whole effort seemed to be to position, you know, to position himself as the person who backed women. And that was a very soft moment for her. Successful?
Yes, I think it was successful in that moment. I thought that was, now, let's take this word in context, charming for her to sing that song to the two little girls. But let's also face the fact that Carly Fiorina is anything but a non-controversial figure in the Republican race, and especially in California, where she was the head of Hewlett-Packard at a very difficult time for the company. She made a lot of truly harsh moves in terms of letting people go, firing people, slimming down the company. Tremendously controversial, and she was, of course, asked to go by the board. And there are all kinds of different versions of what happened. But great business success story, perhaps, is not the best way to describe that. And when she did try to run for public office thereafter, she was beaten very badly in 2010 by Barbara Boxer. She lost by 1 million votes in a year, 2010, when Republicans were winning almost everywhere, and it was the great Tea Party election.
I want to get in your thoughts on Bernie Sanders announcing huge cuts to his staff yesterday, but continuing his campaign, although seeming to direct his attention toward Donald Trump, saying yesterday at Indiana University, or last night, we have to hope and pray that he gets the Republican nomination, meaning he wouldn't be a good candidate. Being more polite towards his primary opponent, Hillary Clinton, where are we here?
Bernie Sanders has a wonderful opportunity to make good on the extraordinary successes his campaign has already had, not only in terms of coming back from a tremendous deficit in the polls, but in terms of winning many states, caucuses, a few primaries as well. He can translate that into real influence over the Democratic platform and over the direction of the Democratic Party in the future, but not if he is seen as being in it to torpedo the Democratic candidate who now looks pretty certain to be Hillary Clinton.
Now, people are saying you're going to be Ted Kennedy, who lost a nomination but went on to lead the party, or Ralph Nader, who, you know, was shut out in many ways when he lost. The NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving has been guiding us through here. Ron, thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.